Hey, we are in for a great year, and I reiterate what Luke has already mentioned. There is no greater way to start the year. We were talking as a team before the service started, but the truth is the way that you begin anything has a prophetic declaration over the rest of a thing. Who knows that when you begin a conversation, how you begin it can determine how the rest of the conversation goes, right? Notice that? Sometimes how you begin your day will kind of like determine how the rest of the day goes. And that's why we encourage people begin the day with Jesus, because it sets a trajectory for the rest of your day. It's actually the same way over the year. There is something very special about the first fruits of anything. And that's why I love what Jacinta brought this morning. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance, because what God has, God doesn't warm up. You know that, don't you? Hello. God doesn't warm up. He's not warming up. He's not saying, okay, it's the 1st of January, we'll take it easy, and then come the 8th, we'll ramp it up and we'll go to the... It doesn't work that way. The Lord's good to go all the time, and He's got something prophetic over our lives that He wants to take us further in. So very excited to bring the Word of God to us this morning. I'd love for us to pray, and then we'll dive in into God's Word. Father, we thank You that Your kingdom is here, Your kingdom is upon us. Thank You that every single person that is in this room right now is so cherished by You, is so loved by You, is so known. We may be overlooked by men. We may not be known to one another. And in the dark and in the quiet and in the private, only we know our wrestles, Lord God. But thank You because You said, I know My sheep. Thank You that You know every single one of us by name. Thank You that today You intend to encounter us, and that today You intend to free us, and today You intend that we experience Your wonderful presence, and that You're going to upgrade our paradigm, our vision, our faith, our thinking. Thank You that today dead things will rise in the name of Jesus. Thank You that the weak things shall be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father, that You are here, and there's a league, a dispensation of angels even in this room right now to minister to young and to old, to those who are whole and those who are broken. Thank You that all are known by You. We give You all the honor. Holy Spirit, we ask You to have all the room. Speak and do what only You can do. We don't come for the wisdom of a man or a woman, or even the organized things that we can do as a church. We come to sit under the power and the love of God. So Holy Spirit, we ask You, have Your way, unleash the grace that came through Calvary. Let it not be a doctrine or history, but let it be the very taste and see that the Lord is good on this first of the first 2023. Thank You that You are the God of miracles. Thank You that today is a day of turnaround, that today long-standing mountains shall be leveled because of the presence of Jesus Christ. Thank You that You love us relentlessly. We receive You and we honor You in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, we're going to dive into the Word of God today. If you were with us kind of like late last year, we have spent several weeks starting down a trajectory of kingdom. And the trajectory of kingdom, to be completely honest, can be quite endless. We began with the whole sort of what is the kingdom of God and why is that so important, and how the Lord never instituted a religion. God has always planned a kingdom right from creation till this day. We are a kingdom of priests, the Lord said. There's a kingdom. That's why He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He doesn't even have subjects. He has royalty. And in that kingdom, we saw together, we started to unpack together how the kingdom of God, there is such a thing as religious prayer, but there is such a thing as kingdom prayer. And Jesus taught the difference that when you pray, when I pray, there's an ushering of the kingdom of God. We learned that man and women, redeemed men and women of God, mankind is the prime mover of the will of God on earth through prayer. You and I literally are the conduits of the kingdom of God. Things that are in disorder, in disarray, need to come back to kingdom order. And the only way that they can come is when you and I take responsibility that we are the conduits of the kingdom of God on earth. Things come into order only when you and I partner. That's why Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We saw together how kingdom prayer, that's why when they prayed, they could have asked the Lord for so many things. But we saw that they asked the Lord, they said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And how important that is. So today I want to take us also to something that the disciples asked. And you know what? Sometimes we discredit the disciples. We treat them like, you know, but they were really insightful. They were men of God that were really insightful. They lived with Jesus and they began to see what really works and what doesn't work. They began to see in Christ embodied the difference between useless religion that lacks power and true kingdom come to earth through the Messiah. So they asked really important questions. I would recommend to every single one of us, study not only what the disciples thought, but what they asked. One of the things that the disciples asked in the book of Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, they said to the Lord, "Lord, increase our faith." Because they realized there was something about Jesus' faith that was so different that they wanted to catch. It wasn't a mechanical dogma. It wasn't just a learning of head knowledge. There was something about his faith that allowed him to be a conduit of the kingdom of God, that allowed the kingdom of God to be manifest.
Hi, this is Corey.
And they
Turner.
Wanted to learn that faith.
Along with my wife
faith.
Simone, we are the senior
they
pastors
wanted
of
that
Newmark
faith
Church.
That doesn't just
to
come
thank you for
through
listening to our podcast
a head knowledge
today.
And,
you're about
and
to
a
hear
learning
a message
and a
from
Bible
one of our team
and
a theology build your faith
and is removed from the
Jesus
practicality of
enjoy
how that outworks in day-to-day life. So they said, "Lord, increase our faith." I want to take us today on a quick journey of the kingdom of faith. The kingdom of God could only advance in your life and my life, in the church, whether it's corporately or personally, by faith. Faith is not the library that you have at home. Faith is not the books that you and I have read that could contribute to your faith and my faith. True kingdom living, true kingdom advancement only happens by faith. I want to let us know that every step forward in the kingdom of God, as a church corporately, or even as individuals in your life, only happens by faith. Yeah. Faith is the thing that is responsible for either advancement or regression. Faith is the thing. Lack of faith will have you stuck. Lack of faith. You can grow old in the Lord, but not grow up in the Lord. You'll keep going around the same mountain again and again and again and again and again and again and again, and you're growing old, but not growing up. That has everything to do, not with the progression of head knowledge, but what's happening in the faith realm of your heart and my heart. That's why the Lord wants to speak to us today, because the Lord loves us. The Lord is a progressive God. Your life and my life, our church, is meant to have ever shifting boundaries forward. The Lord wants more. Who knows? God wants more for your life. He does. He really does. God wants more for my life. I don't want a new year and do the same old stuff. We were sharing this morning as a team prior to the service. You can't simultaneously grow but not change. You can't grow and remain the same at the same time. Hello? My faith needs to change in 2023. My revelation needs to grow this year. Praise God for everything that you believe. Praise God for everything that you walk. But could God have more in 2023? Could God have more? I think so. I think there isn't a single one of us that could say, there's so much more. God, I'm hungry for more. Open up my eyes and show me more. We're going to read a long passage today. So we're going to read from the first book of Samuel, chapter 14. If you'd open up with me. We're not going to read the entire passage. I'm going to probably jump around to make it a little bit shorter. But out of that passage, I believe we're going to begin to extrapolate some principles that I believe that the Spirit of a living God will just help us to step out new boundaries of our faith and therefore new boundaries of experiencing the kingdom of God in our lives. 1 Samuel chapter 14, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side.' But he did not tell his father, and Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is a Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men." We're introduced to the story where the Philistines really have got the people of God, the Israelis, in lockdown. But then Jonathan says, "I'm sick of this," takes his armor bearer and says, "Let's go over and let's confront him. Let's do something about this." While Saul is sitting there, his father, the king, the one who is positioned to bring breakthrough, the one who is positioned to bring kingdom, but he's sitting there with 600 men under a pomegranate tree because he is afraid. No movement, no progress. The kingdom of God in his life is stagnant, and the people he is leading are stagnant. His family is stagnant. His life is stagnant, because who knows, that's what fear will do to you. Fear will have you right where you are for as long as you live. No steps forward. You can come to the conclusion in your mind, we can't do much about this, therefore we'll remain here and make it safe. Who knows how many Christians live to build a safe world? We build safety into our world, don't we? We want our world to be risk-free. Hello. So we stay right where we are. We're going to jump to verse 6. "Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison, to these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us.'" Listen to the language. "Nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." I like this boy. Anybody else like him? What a right spirit. He's like, you know what? Even if it's a handful, even if it's a little, but a little with God ends up being the majority. Why don't we go with God instead of stay with the unbelieving? Hello. All right. "The armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart.' Jonathan said, 'Very well. Let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand there in our place and not go to them. But if they say thus to us, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us.' Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and as he came, his armor bearer also killed them. that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. That's really interesting already, but now I really want us to know what happens next, and then we're going to dive into it. There was trembling in the camp and in the field and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled. The enemy trembled. Wow. The earth quaked. Are you kidding me? So the enemy trembles and the earth itself begins to quake. So that there was a very great trembling. We're going to jump to verse 19. It happened that when Saul talked to the priest, that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." And then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled and they went to the battle. Who knows, when somebody's got faith and begins to step out, it definitely commands the environment to change. It commands certain people to wake up in their faith and to come along for the journey. So indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was a very great confusion. Moreover, listen to this. This is amazing. The Hebrews, who were with the Philistines before that time, went up to them into the camp and to the surrounding country, and they joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim because they were scared. When this thing had happened, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day. Amen. All right, can we talk? All right, can I just ask you to do one thing? I'm really excited today. Please don't give me nothing. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm falling off a cliff. Help me out, right? Help me out. I'm really excited about this because I don't know if you noticed, but that was the worst military strategy recorded in all of history. Anybody notice that? Like, literally, it lacks every bit of strategic intelligence. It lacks the whole numerical advantage. When armies fight with one another, they need a numerical advantage. The numerics here tell me that it was 1 to 10. It was Saul and his armor bearer, and there's 20. In the first garrison, that's 1 to 10, a ratio of 1 to 10. It lacks the element of surprise. Who goes at 1 to 10 ratio and doesn't, you know what they did? They literally walked up at the bottom of the mountain, these 20 are at the top of the mountain, and they say, "Hey, you want to fight?" I mean, how stupid, right? If you're going to come upon 20 and you're only two, at least surprise them. Right, it lacks the element of it lacks landscape advantage, doesn't it? They're on top, we're down the bottom, so they're crawling on their hands and knees. Doesn't that doesn't make sense, right? But here's what I want to say to you, and that's why I've chosen this passage to talk to us through, because you know that's the thing about faith. Faith can give you great victory against great odds, even though the plan isn't perfect. The plan doesn't have to be perfect for God to move. God will move through your initiative, not through the genius of your plan. Hello. God moves through our initiative. God moves in your moving. You take a step and the power of God comes upon that. See, Saul was sitting there crippled, but Jonathan was moving in the authority and the power of the Lord, not because he was a genius, not because he had a great plan, not because he was highly educated. Obviously, he wasn't, because there's no way you'd pick that kind of fight, but because he had faith to say, who knows whether the Lord will save by many or by few. Because it had nothing to do with the head, it had nothing to do with the plan. Sometimes we move in God when we think all things are perfect. And that God will only move when all the ducks line up in a row. And when all the planets are aligned, then that's when God will move in my life. I want to tell you that he's a lie from hell. That is so not true. The kingdom of God does not come because your plan is watertight. The kingdom of God is released in your life, my life, in our church, as we in God step by faith the will of God. Even if you don't have the resources, you don't have to have all the right resources for God to do what he needs to do. Faith is from you. Power is from God. God doesn't need our contribution. God needs our faith. God needs our yes and amen. Hello. See, Saul, because of a lack of faith, was paralyzed. Do you know how many Christians live because of paralysis of analysis? They live paralyzed because everything is computed. All steps in life are computed. We do sometimes what feels right. It's got to feel right. Who said anything about feeling? Feeling are great followers, not good leaders. Faith must lead my decision and your decision. And I want to encourage us today. I'm not only talking about the big decisions in life. I'm not talking about, you know, when you're moving country and you're considering it, or when you're selling the house and stuff like that, or when you're changing career. I'm talking about the little day-to-day stuff. There's little day-to-day promptings of the Holy Spirit that you and I need to grow in becoming familiar with on how to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, therefore experience the advancement of God. You know, I don't understand how we can expect great things from God when we don't attempt great things for God. I don't understand it. Sometimes, you know, God, we want you to heal the sick. Okay, that's great. When was the last time you went and laid hands on somebody and in the name of Jesus commanded disease to go? Well, how's God going to heal the sick, my friend? Please, tell me. That Jesus said they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That means we need to do something. And unless I do something, unless I step into something, how is God going to move? God moves, and that's what I'm trying to say to us. God moves through your initiative. God moves in your moving. When you move, you release the power of God into the situation. God does not move through your perfect plan. God moves through your faith. Whatever you have faith for, whatever you begin to step into, that's what God moves. See, Saul had it all wrong. And Jonathan, I'm so glad that he discerned. He thought to himself, you know what? The Lord is not stagnant with my father. The Lord is not hiding in a cave. The Lord is much bigger than that. And I'm going to go where God is. You know, for 2023, I want to encourage every single one of us that calls Newmar East home. Go where God is. Just go where God is. Because you know how miracles happen? You know how miracles happen on an individual level and on a corporate level? Listen to this. This is so easy, but it genuinely changes everything. All miracles are motion activated. Every single one of them. I guarantee you, read scripture. You will not find a miracle that is not motion activated. I guarantee you, miracles in your life have all been motion activated. Here's what I mean by that. Even in the natural, we all came to the shopping center today, right? How did you get in? I'll tell you how you got in. You moved in front of his door. The door was closed, wasn't it? It was closed, wasn't it? But when you moved, guess what happened? It was motion activated. If you went to the bathroom before coming here and hopefully washed your hands, you used something else that was motion activated. You used the hand dryer. Is the hand dryer always on? No, it's not. You motion activate it. Everything moves by motion activation when it comes to the furtherance of the kingdom of God in your life. That's why Jesus would say things like that. The miracle looks like Jesus did this, you know, amazing kind of miracle. But just track how Jesus did miracles. He'd go to a guy who was blind and he'd go to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the Bible records in the book of John chapter 9 and verse 7, he went and washed and he came back seeing. See, it was motion activated. That's why in the book of Mark chapter 3, he would say to a man with a withered hand, stretch out your hand. What if he didn't stretch out his hand? He wouldn't be healed. Because the miracle's got to be motion activated. There is no such thing as kingdom coming through your life and my life unless there's motion activation. Open up with me to one of the biggest miracles that history records, the crossing of the Jordan River in the book of Joshua chapter 3. Check this out. Book of Joshua chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 15. I have a feeling I might just go 5 minutes over time. Is that okay? Can I get your okay for that today? It won't be long, but just five, maybe over time. It says that it was the harvest season and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. See, there was a season when the Jordan River would be really kind of like depleted and diminished. And you could pretty much just walk across it. But there was another season when the Jordan River would be just impossible to cross. And it would be, so when it's overflowing its banks, it's impossible. But the people of God needed to get from one side to the next. And this is the strategy that heaven gave them. Look at this. As soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water, at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up at a great distance away, and you know the rest of the story. Literally, they were able to cross, but I need us to see this. They weren't able to cross when God said, you're going to cross the Jordan River. They weren't able to cross then. They weren't able to cross when they believed. Seriously, they believed God. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. But they weren't able to cross then. There was no experience of any miracle. There was just a conviction in the heart. God has spoken the truth. God has made a way where there is no way. But they weren't able to cross. They weren't able to cross when they came even close. Even coming close. I'm sure they would have been. I don't know about you, but if you're asked to step across a river that is flowing, that could literally take you away and drown you, and you're just asked to step into that, who wouldn't feel a little bit afraid? That's why I'm telling us that miracles in our life, kingdom in our life, the power manifest in our life by the presence of God does not come according to how you feel. Don't be led by how you feel. But the miracle came, it says, when the foot of the priests touched the water. As soon as there was that kind of motion, activation, all of a sudden the power of God comes upon that, and then the power of God is manifest. I want to let us know in 2023. God is wanting to move powerfully in your life and my life. God is wanting to move powerfully in our church. But it's going to take initiative. It is going to take motion, activation. We're going to actually have to do something and believe God. And then everything else will change as a result of that. Throughout every piece of scripture, faith without works is dead. Faith is meant to be seen. The paralytic man is brought by four friends in the presence of Jesus. It says that Jesus said, seeing their faith, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Seeing, how do you see faith? Because it translates into some kind of motion. I want to let us know, faith and inaction cannot coexist. Hello. I cannot say I have faith and simultaneously have inaction in my life. Faith will always, 100% of the time, lead to initiative. You want to see demons cast out? You're going to have to, in the name of Jesus, cast them out, but you're going to have to raise your voice. You want to see people healed? Yes, we all do. We all do. You're going to have to pray for people. Can I strongly encourage us? We never want to be the kind of church that has a few select people that pray for the sick. I don't know how that makes you feel. That nauseates me. God has not called his body, the body of Jesus Christ, to be in layers. God has made every single person that is in this room a kingdom of kings and priests. King because you have dominion. You have dominion. Priest, because you are an intercessor for the world. As much as it is my responsibility for this world, so it is yours. It's our responsibility. The power of God. God has no second-class citizens. There is no such thing as a professional Christian. Every single one of us. These signs will follow those who believe. Hello. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. In my name, they will take up serpents. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's every single one of us. Can I strongly encourage us? Let us never be the type of people that watch stuff happen here. When we want to pray for the sick, and we're going to do that in just a few minutes. If you're sick, I'm going to get you to stand up, but I'm going to get people around you to pray for you. You pray for the sick and you see miracles in the name of Jesus. Because what God wants to do in here, God wants to do out there. I'm telling you now, the Holy Spirit wants to break out in the eastern suburbs in a mighty way. The Spirit of a living God, I believe the day will come in the name of Jesus. We're sons and daughters because it's not going to be about a select few. It's going to be about every single one of us. Clothed with the presence of God. Let the weak say, I am strong. I want to tell you something. You may say, hey, that hasn't always been me. That's okay. Get ready for change. That hasn't always been me either. But I'm ready to go with God wherever God wants to take me, right? We saw last week that God chose Bethlehem out of all the places, little among the thousands of Judah. Why would God not choose to use your life in power to manifest his kingdom? Could not this be the year that God uses you to bring the lost home? That God uses you in under an open heaven, we experience the fullness of God, where God releases anointing on you to heal the sick, to cleanse lepers, to raise the dead. Won't there come a day where we're going to outside of Box Hill Hospital and we're praying for people so they no longer even need to go in? Won't there be today? Yes, there will. Yes, there will. Yeah, tell me why not? Can God not do it? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The kingdom does not need those who are full of themselves. I don't care how little faith you have in yourself. Just have great faith in God. I don't have faith in myself, but that's okay. I'm not meant to. I'm not meant to look at myself and say, oh, I can do. Oh, no, I can't. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not me. As a matter of fact, that's how I work out at the gym. Because it's 10, I can do, and then it's 10. I'll get to 10. I'm like, okay, great, I did it through Christ. You know what I'm saying? God has something powerful to release on the church, but it will only happen by faith. God is calling us to believe and motion activate once again. Now, it sounds a little bit simplistic, but I want us to know that the power of God is not restrained, but sometimes his will is restrained through unbelief. His power isn't restrained, but his will could be restrained through unbelief. Book of Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, it says that Jesus could not do many signs. He could not do many wonders in that place because of their unbelief. His power was present, but his will was not executed because of unbelief. Let it never be said of us that the will of God is restrained in our life because of unbelief. That means that God wants to do so much more, but he's looking for people that will say yes to him. Yes, Lord, we're going to do it. Maybe I haven't done it all my life, but this year, let it be the year of turnaround. Yes, God, we're going to do it. Yes, 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 and why not, Lord? Can I pause just for a minute and ask you? I wonder what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do this year that you need to resurrect and obey. I wonder what the Holy Spirit is asking of you this year that you need to step out by faith, to shrug off fear and to step it out by faith. I wonder what the Holy Spirit's already talking to you about. What he needs from you, woman of God. What he wants upon your life, man of God. And that he's calling you to, and you're wrestling with it in your head, and you're wrestling with it in your emotions, but you know it's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And just like it came to Jonathan, and it doesn't make sense, and it could look like the worst strategy, but it is the Holy Spirit. You see, God wants to release his power, but the only way God could release his power in your life and my life is by faith when we step it out. That's why I just want to open up one more piece of scripture with you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, if you'd open up with me. By the way, when you come to church, always bring your Bible. Mark in your Bible so that God could speak to you again and again during the week. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. The apostle says, "You who are kept by the power of God through faith." You who are kept by the power of God through faith. What the apostle was teaching there is a very, very simple, yet one of the most powerful principles found in a believer's life. The power of God is always twinned with your faith. If I'm not experiencing the power of God in my life, it's because I blocked it through unbelief. But the power of God can flow through any life by faith, by believing and stepping out, by that motion activation. The manifestation of the power of God in your life is always connected to faith 100% of the time. Do you know in the passage that we read, I don't know if you noticed that, I hope you did. In the passage that we read together, it says that the enemy, look, two people, Jonathan and an armor bearer. One of them is a fighter, the other one is just to bear the armor. Jonathan and his armor bearer, two people, and it says that the entirety of the Philistine gathering were trembling. Did you notice that? Oh my goodness, okay. The entirety were gathering, okay, trembling. Then we heard that there was an earthquake. Did you notice that as well? Are you kidding me? The earth quaked, two men having a fight, and the earth responded. The power of God was so released that the earth sensed the presence of the power of God who shakes mountains, so that the earth quaked. It tells us that the Hebrews who had defaulted to the Philistine now came back. Can you believe that? People that was so scared that they went and joined the enemy, now left the enemy camp and came back to the camp of God. People who were afraid and were cowards hiding in the mountains of Ephraim also came and joined. All of that because two men by faith, not by a great strategy. Can you see how the power of God is released upon the most simple of faith? It's absolutely incredible, isn't it? I want to tell you, when you get up and fight, somebody will get up and fight with you. The kingdom of God will always be advanced. I want to finish up by saying this to us. I just want to spend a few moments making this as practical as possible in our life. The supernatural is going to begin to a whole new level in your life and my life. It always begins with a yes. Always. It took a yes for Noah to partner with something crazy like an ark in order to see the supernatural released on the earth. Took a yes from Moses, a man who was now completely defeated and aged out and against all odds. It took a yes from him to a man who's not eloquent in speech and yet called to lead a couple of million people, but it took his yes for the power of God to be manifest. It took a yes from Gideon. It took a yes from Paul and Peter. It took a yes. We saw last week, Mary, let it be to me according to your word so that the Messiah could come to earth. It took a yes. In 2023, in your life and my life, it's going to take a yes. It's going to take a yes. It's going to, God is going to prompt you to certain things. And now he doesn't want you to use the CPU up here. He wants you to use the yes here. that you no longer kind of calculate. You hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You hear the voice of God leading you. Simple things and big things. Sometimes the Lord will say to you, I want you to go to speak to that person, but I don't know them, Lord. That's not even naturally me. Go do it anyway. It's going to take your yes, but you'll see what God will do through it. It will take a yes. Sometimes you're in a gathering like this and the Lord gives you a word. I was sharing with a team this morning. It wasn't that long ago that a person came into one of our gatherings, somebody who was not part of the team, right, had a simple thing in their heart, and it was like, I think God wants me to go tell this person. And he went and told this person what he believed God was saying. Do you know that person that received the word had come to church? He was weeping and he was telling me, Raph, I came to say goodbye to God because I was going out after the service. I determined I will suicide. But somebody said a yes to God. There was a simple word. He said that word changed everything. God intercepted me. And I'm not going to suicide. God let me know my value. God let me know that he loves me and that he's going to turn things around. And hope has come back into my life. You know what did that? A believer said yes. And the power of God was released. You know, in 2023, God wants your yes. God wants my yes. It's just going to be a simple yes. God wants us to be people of faith. People of faith, people that hear the Holy Spirit and then motion activate. I want to give you three things and I'm done very quickly. Three things that are going to supersize our faith in 2023. Because faith should not be an event. Faith is a life. Faith is a daily thing. The just shall live by faith. It's our life. Hear from God and then do what God says. Here's the first thing that I want to tell you that will supersize your faith. Book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Did you hear that? Faith comes. You know what that means? Even if I don't have faith in my heart, it will come. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's what I have noticed. People of the word are always people of faith. Because the word is supernatural seed from heaven. And I want to tell you something. If you want a new field, you're going to have to sow new seed. Every single day, New Marist, I beg you. I promise you, if I only have one thing that I want more than anything for our church, I want us to be people who every day meet with Jesus. Every day. Every day you and Jesus just spend time together. Every day, open up the word. Say, Father, I need you to speak to me. Your word is daily bread. Your word, Lord, is my life. Your word is more important than my necessary food. Here's what I have noticed. I've noticed that every time I open up the word of God, the Lord opens up heavens over my life. When you prioritize sitting down with the Lord, you'll see God will fill you up in such a way that it's authentic. You won't become a perfect Christian, but what you'll become is a spirit-filled person. Can I ask us more than anything, starting today, the 1st of January, 2023, be a man, be a woman of the word, be a child of the word. If you're a young kid and you're in here today, start reading your word today. Read the word. Sow new seed, allow new seed to be sown. You'll find a whole new field in your life. Make it your daily bread. The second thing that I want to say to you to increase your faith comes out of Hebrews chapter 12. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, hang around people of faith. Can I encourage us? Hang around people of faith. Rub shoulders with people of faith. Get in the world of people of faith. Have friends of faith. Have discussions of faith. You know, one of the things we're going to do in every service right here at East, every single week, we're going to bring you a testimony, either of a healing of something. You know why? Because we want you to see the superior kingdom of God, not the inferior kingdom of Satan. So the inferior kingdom will declare disease. The superior kingdom will declare healing because of faith. Hang around people of faith.
be with people of faith. The righteous should choose their friends carefully, the book of Proverbs says. Be with people of faith. Be with people who talk faith. I'm not talking about people who talk religion. I'm talking about people who talk faith. When we get together, it's not about the latest gossip. You know what it's about? We tell of the goodness of God. Tell somebody a story of what the Lord is doing in your life or in somebody else's life. Tell. Build faith. A community of faith. The third and final thing that I'd want to say to us in conclusion, and the team can come back up just for a minute. I want to encourage you, exercise what you have. Now, this is really important. This is really important in growing in faith. See, here's where we started. And just give me one more minute before you check out. Where we started was the disciples in Luke chapter 17 saying to the Lord, increase our faith. You know what the Lord said to them? If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be cast into the sea and it will obey you. You know what the Lord was saying? The Lord was saying, it's not about the size of your faith, it's about the exercise of your faith. Even if it's this little, but you say, that means you engage it. You engage it, you take the little and you engage it into action, things begin to happen in your life. You will see the power of God released. That's why I want to encourage us today. Mark this year as a year of kingdom faith. Mark this year with God, this is the year of my yes. You will tell me, and whatever you tell me, I'm going to translate. I'm going to submit my mind. You want to obey God? Obey God in your mind first before you obey Him in your behavior. Say yes to God. Mark it. Mark it. And go, okay, God, here it is. Here's my obedience to that. Step it out by faith.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.